I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show. I'm Dr. Howie Jacobson, and this is the Plant Yourself Podcast. Each week, I bring you a conversation with someone who's making a positive difference in the world. And for my day job, I help leaders and their teams master their mindsets so they can achieve great things. To find out more, check out the Mindset Mastery Memo, my Substack newsletter. You can find it at plantyourself.com/memo. And now, today's show.
Hi, this is Howard Jacobson. I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Ashley Flitter, the unintentional vegan. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. So we met a couple of weeks ago at a blogging conference in Portland, and I was really struck by the name of your website, of your blog, the unintentional vegan. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, so almost exactly 2 years ago now, I started the blog, and that kind of came after about a year of some health issues. I've been having some stomach problems, and I couldn't really figure out what was going on with me, and I went in and had an endoscopy and all those things, and all the tests came back negative, and which was great, but it still was kind of hard to figure out, you know, okay, I'm still going through these health issues, but they're not finding any help for me. So I met with one of the doctors, and they suggested that I might be lactose intolerant. So I cut out all dairy and almost instantly felt, you know, 100% better. And I was like, well, let's see what else I can cut out, see, you know, what else will help. And so I cut out meat. And before I knew it, basically all that was separating me from being vegan was eggs. And after reading about 5 pages of eating animals, I was pretty much off eggs and have been vegan ever since. But it kind of came about unintentionally due to some of the health issues. So that's where the name of the blog came from.
Got it. So I've talked to a lot of people who came to plant-based eating or veganism through a concern for animal welfare. And for those folks, what I have discovered is that the transition was a lot easier because there was kind of a clear and black and white line in the sand. Like, oh, I don't do that anymore.
Right.
Was it different for you because you were sort of experimenting, looking for a personal health solution?
I think in the beginning it was a little bit tougher, I wasn't as strict with it. When I went vegetarian, I stuck to it just because I wanted, you know, I felt like it was a commitment I was making and that I needed to do it. But, you know, if there were eggs in something or, you know, something like that, like I wasn't always reading all the labels of everything. I definitely stayed away from dairy just because of the health issues, and I definitely didn't feel well when I was eating dairy. But I would say for the eggs, it was a little bit more of just a trial and error process of, you know, learning what to look for. And then when I went totally vegan, it was much tougher getting used to, you know, having to definitely read all the labels and making sure that I was kind of on top of those things. And it actually really helped me learn how to cook better because I had to make a lot of my own meals because I couldn't buy hardly anything that was processed anymore. But, yeah, I would definitely say that it was a bit tougher in the beginning to transition just because, like you said, it wasn't as black and white for me. It was more of an experiment for my health.
Did you find a community of people to support you?
Oh, absolutely. I would say right away, at least. Most of it was online. There are a lot of great bloggers out there that have these wonderful websites of resources that, you know, make it a lot easier to sort of take that dive into veganism. But even my family and friends were pretty supportive of me, even if they didn't always understand why I was doing it. They were definitely, you know, making strides to sort of help me out along the way and be mindful of the fact that I wasn't eating animal products anymore.
I'm curious. I haven't read Eating Animals. What in that book turned you off of eggs?
Well, I kind of always assumed that factory farming, you know, I always knew sort of the awful things that happened in those situations, but I always just associated it with meat. I didn't really think about that as far as like eggs or dairy went. And that book really lays it out pretty clearly of this is not just a meat issue. It's pretty much happening with any animal product that we eat that's coming from a commercial grocery store. All these animals are being treated really horribly. And in some cases, you know, the dairy cows and the egg-laying chickens are treated a lot worse than animals that we're consuming for meat. So,
So that had become an ethical choice at that point.
Yep, and that, I would say, like, reading that book was really my sort of my black and white moment. I would say after that, it was pretty black and white for me because it more became an animal rights thing than a health thing.
Gotcha. So, what did you notice in terms of your health and any other impact that going completely plant-based had?
Well, like I said, when I cut out dairy, I felt much less tired. I felt I didn't have any of the stomach problems anymore. I wasn't feeling nauseous. I wasn't having any of those issues after I ate. And then when I cut out meat, I just instantly felt like I had a lot more energy. I felt, I don't know, I felt like I could finally do a lot of the activities that I'd been wanting to do, but I would always get a little bit tired or fatigued. I was sleeping a lot better. I've been kind of a lifelong insomniac, and I noticed that shortly after I went plant-based, I was able to start getting better sleep at night. So when I was sleeping, it was a lot better and a lot more relaxing. But like I said, overall, I just felt a lot better. I haven't had any health issues since, I would say.
So I'm looking on your this is your blog here. Is it the readyforplanb.com is also you?
Nope, that was a product that I did an interview for
a while back. Okay, I guess I clicked the link from your blog to this. So in this, you talk about irritable bowel syndrome.
Yep.
Which I did a search on and discovered that it's not curable according to Western medicine. Right. So that has not been your experience.
No, not at all. I would say, you know, it's incurable if you don't change your eating habits. You know, and it probably depends on the seriousness of the condition too. You know, for me, I'm not sure how along the spectrum, how serious it was. But it was something that the doctor diagnosed me with. And once I stopped eating dairy, I haven't had any recurrences of those issues. So.
Cool. So, do you find yourself in the role of an ambassador for plant-based eating? Are there people in your life who at this point, like, are curious about it or maybe a little bit challenged by it? How do you navigate, you know, you're obviously public about it and promoting it through a blog. How do you navigate that in your daily life?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely sort of an ambassador for plant-based eating. I live in an area that there aren't many vegans or even vegetarians. I think I work with one other vegetarian, and I don't know any other vegans in my area within probably 100 miles of me. So it makes for interesting conversation a lot of times. But people are mostly interested, I think that they see that I don't deprive myself, and I'm not really ever, I'm not like the starving vegan who, you know, is pushing the meat around on their plate at weddings and things like that. But, you know, they see me and they see that I'm healthy, and I'm an athlete too, and they see that. And I think that sort of changes their mind about, you know, what it means to be plant-based. I think a lot of people just assume that you're kind of frail and, you know, that you eat salad all the time. And so I feel like, you know, I definitely show them that that's not the only way to do it, and that there are healthy ways to do it, and that it really is a healthier alternative, and it's also, in my opinion, you know, morally a more compassionate choice. And sort of leading in with the health aspect, and then I, you know, I sort of put the animal rights things in there as well. I sort of work them in with the health angle on things, because I have found that people are much more responsive to wanting to either, you know, get healthier, or they want to participate in activity and they want the energy and the ability to do that. And then sort of teaching them about some of the other moral issues once I get them interested.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's almost like there's a way in which if you eat food that is harming the earth or other creatures, that there's just no way it can be good for you, and kind of a cosmic level. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's at some point personal health and ethics collapse.
Right.
Into you know, it's like looking at yourself in the mirror and wanting to get rid of the mole and the person in the mirror, but not caring about your own mole. It's like it doesn't really work that way.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. So, what else do you do around plant-based eating, either, you know, as a hobby or professionally, for people who want to follow you and your work?
Well, I do the blog, The Unintentional Vegan, and then I also volunteer for an organization located in Minneapolis called Compassionate Action for Animals, and they're at exploreveg.org, and they're a really great organization, and actually we're putting on our second annual Veg Fest this October, and it's going to be great. We had our first one last year, and we had a really good turnout. We had about 1,000 people show up, and it was a great time, and it's sort of the, kind of the first of its kind here in Minneapolis, so it was very cool.
Well, so actually, I didn't catch that. You're in the middle of cheese country.
Sort of, yeah. Wisconsin's right next to me.
So,
but yes, there are a lot of meat and potatoes people here. Yes, because it's farm country, and it's sort of very traditional in that way.
Uh huh. Got it. And so, you know, there. Do you find that things are shifting? If not, maybe towards, you know, black and white veganism, to people shifting their diets to include more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's definitely the interest there, at least, to want to go more plant-based. And Minneapolis area is a little bit more progressive than where I'm at. I'm south of Minneapolis. And there's definitely, there's new sort of vegetarian and vegan restaurants popping up pretty frequently up there. But even in my area, I found that even if people aren't ready to go vegetarian or vegan, they're looking to really know where their food is coming from. So you find a lot of people here that, rather than buying, you know, meat, you know, at the local or at, you know, a chain grocery store, they're more likely to go to our local farmers or a neighbor or something like that. And then they want to be able to follow the process more. And I think that knowing where your food is coming from is sort of the first step toward, you know, a more plant-based diet, because the more you know, I think the harder it becomes to sort of justify that way of eating.
Yeah, I am a huge believer in awareness, both, mm-hmm. you know, slowing down my own eating so that I'm aware of what's going in my mouth so I can decide in real time if I want to keep eating it or stop mm-hmm. or have something else, and just awareness of the food system. And I have to say, you know, that I have a lot of friends here in North Carolina who are into, you know, local farming, and that includes you know, egg and poultry and beef and mm-hmm. dairy production. And I've got to say, I find that extremely heartening that the, you know, people in the community are becoming more aware of where their food's coming from, and they're choosing, mm-hmm. You know, not a factory farm, not Purdue or something like that, but something local.
Right.
That I think everyone's in the end of the day is going to make their own decisions. But if we're making our decisions based on the same data, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's much easier to have conversations and to talk to each other, as opposed to most of the people I know are just in utter denial about where their food
right.
comes from and the cost.
Yep, I totally agree with that. I definitely think that, you know, getting that that larger perspective of the food system is definitely a step in the right direction.
Oh. So I'm on your site, there's a lot of recipes. Are these recipes that you've invented or adapted?
Yep.
How does that work?
Yep, those are my original recipes. I get inspiration from lots of places. My recipes are by no means fancy in a lot of ways. They're things that people can, you know, put together for a weeknight dinner, and that's really sort of what I strive for with my recipes. It's something that any busy person can go into their kitchen and put together in a night. And a lot of feedback that I get from people are, you know, it's so hard. It must be so hard to be vegan, or you only eat salads, or I don't have the time, or I don't have the money. And so I really try to keep things pretty simple. I use ingredients that you can commonly find. Like I said, I'm in an area where I don't have access to a Whole Foods. I don't have access to a lot of ingredients that some people use in their recipes. So I keep it pretty simple, stuff that you can find in any grocery store. And I try to make them all things that you could put together on a weeknight, because I find that that's all the time that I usually have, and that I'm probably not the only one that doesn't have time to make some of these more involved recipes, you know, during the week. So,
right. They look simple enough, but I have to say they look beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you the photographer as well?
Yeah, I'm working on that. That was one of my goals for this year, was to sort of improve the food photography on the blog. So,
well, looks good to me.
Well, thank you.
I'm looking at the walnut scale pesto. You know, it's in my experience, it's very hard to get pesto to look appetizing on camera.
True.
So you did a great job. So
well,
I love how this the site is really, it's not trying to be anything, you know, fancy. I'm looking mm-hmm. at the tropical coconut pancakes. Looks really sort of simple and interesting and common sense. Like what I'm getting from you is not necessarily the recipe, or it's just a way to think about ways to eat healthy that don't take a ton of time.
Yep. I definitely try to focus on, you know, giving people options too. One of my friends, JL Fields, JL Goes Vegan, she sort of introduced me to the idea of intuitive cooking. And I sort of approach my recipes from that way of, like, I'm going to give you sort of an idea and the base, and then I want people to feel free to, you know, experiment in the kitchen. Because cooking is sort of one of those things that you just have to do more of to get comfortable. And I feel like if you put too many caveats in there or restrictions on what you can do or what you can't do, I think that that just deters people from actually ever getting in the kitchen and trying it. So I try to be as, you know, welcoming to all levels of cooking as possible, and just try to say, hey, if you don't have this, you can try this. Or if you don't like coconut, don't put coconut in, put blueberries or something like that. You know, trying to give people, you know, more freedom to sort of do what they want in the kitchen, rather than, you know, regular cookbooks that just sort of say, like, this is how it has to be.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm looking at the kebabs, so I think I'm going to cook those tomorrow.
So, ooh, good choice.
I'll let you know. Yeah, we got to, you know, everyone's firing up the grills, so we got to we got to stand our ground. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you
so much.
Take care, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's take this home with some gratitudes. First of all, thanks to Mama Earth. You have been so very, very good to me. Second, Will Ridenour donated the use of his beautiful song Sabali Dong as the theme music for this show. You can find out more about Will's music at willridenour.com. Third, thanks to all the patrons of the Plant Yourself podcast for your financial support. You can read the names of all the patrons at any show notes at plantyourself.com. If you would like to become a patron to show your gratitude for the work I'm doing and help support it, you can do so at plantyourself.com/gift. That's G-I-F-T, all lowercase. And finally, I want to thank you, the listener, for making all of this possible, for giving me a reason to reach out to people, to have conversations, to edit, produce, publicize, all the stuff that I do is for you, so that we can continue to have conversations and continue to ripple out healing and transformation into the world.